What if everything you thought you knew about capitalism was about to be turned upside down? Imagine waking up to discover that the economic system powering our world for over two centuries is gradually giving way to something entirely different. This isn't science fiction. It's the central premise of Jeremy Rifkin's groundbreaking work. As Bill Gates once remarked, this is a book that truly changes how you see the future unfolding, while The Guardian called it the most profound economic treatise of our time. Rifkin's vision has captured the attention of world leaders from China to Europe, with German Chancellor Angela Merkel personally consulting with him on economic transformation. The zero marginal cost society doesn't just predict incremental change, it forecasts the most profound economic transformation since the Industrial Revolution, one that's already underway in the emerging collaborative commons where goods and services are increasingly shared rather than owned. At the heart of Rifkin's analysis lies a startling paradox. Capitalism contains the seeds of its own transformation. The relentless drive for efficiency and productivity that defines competitive markets is pushing marginal costs towards zero, undermining the very profit mechanism that sustains the system. Marginal cost, what it costs to produce an additional unit after fixed costs are covered, approaches zero as technology advances, creating an abundance that capitalism struggles to monetize. This phenomenon first emerged in the digital realm, where information could be reproduced and shared at virtually no cost. Music, publishing, and entertainment industries were the first casualties, as billions began sharing content for free. Now, this near-zero marginal cost revolution is expanding beyond the virtual world into the physical economy through renewable energy, 3D printing, and online education. Consider solar and wind energy, where the initial infrastructure requires investment, but the marginal cost of producing each additional unit of energy is nearly zero. The sun and wind don't send monthly bills. Once the fixed costs of installation are covered, these systems can generate virtually free energy for decades. Similarly, 3D printing allows anyone with access to the technology to manufacture products at a fraction of traditional costs, while online education platforms deliver world-class instruction to millions at negligible marginal cost. The implications are profound. As Rifkin explains, when marginal costs approach zero, profits evaporate, property rights become meaningless, and the market economy begins to implode. Yet rather than seeing this as catastrophic, Rifkin views it as transformative. The emergence of a hybrid economy, where a diminishing capitalist market operates alongside an expanding collaborative commons. This isn't merely theoretical. The sharing economy has already disrupted industries, from hospitality, Airbnb, to transportation, Zipcar relay rides, with millions participating in collaborative consumption networks that prioritize access over ownership. These platforms enable people to share underutilized resources, from spare rooms to idle vehicles, at near-zero marginal cost, creating abundance from what was previously wasted. What makes this transition inevitable isn't ideology, but thermodynamics. The Internet of Things, a seamless network connecting everything from household appliances to factory production lines, is driving unprecedented efficiency gains by optimizing resource use in real time. As this infrastructure spreads, it's enabling a lateral, distributed economy that fundamentally challenges the vertical integration of traditional capitalism. The Internet of Things represents the first smart infrastructure revolution in history, connecting billions of sensors across three critical networks: a communications internet, an energy internet, and a logistics internet. Together, these form an operating system that continuously monitors, analyzes, and optimizes economic activity with unprecedented efficiency. Unlike previous industrial revolutions built around centralized command structures, the IoT is inherently distributed and collaborative. It connects prosumers, producer-consumers, in lateral networks where they can bypass traditional middlemen and share directly with each other at near-zero marginal cost. This technological platform isn't just changing how we produce and distribute goods, it's transforming the very nature of economic organization. The scale of this transformation is staggering. Cisco projects the IoT will generate $14.4 trillion in cost savings and revenue by 2022, while General Electric estimates efficiency gains could impact half the global economy by 2025. Even small improvements yield enormous benefits. A mere 1% efficiency increase in aviation would save $30 billion over 15 years. What makes the IoT revolutionary is how it integrates humanity back into the biosphere's natural rhythms while dramatically increasing productivity. Sensors monitoring everything from energy use to traffic patterns to agricultural conditions create feedback loops that optimize resource allocation in real time. This continuous data flow enables a level of coordination previously impossible, allowing communities to manage resources collaboratively rather than through centralized control. The IoT's distributed architecture perfectly complements renewable energy systems, which are similarly distributed and collaborative. Unlike fossil fuels that require massive centralized infrastructure, renewable energy can be generated locally and shared peer-to-peer through an energy internet. This alignment between energy production and communication technology represents a fundamental break from previous industrial revolutions, where communication advances were always paired with centralized energy systems. As Rifkin notes, the distributed nature of renewable energy requires collaborative rather than hierarchical management and scales laterally in networks rather than vertically. This structural compatibility between the IoT and renewable energy is accelerating the transition to a post-carbon economy where power generation is democratized and energy becomes abundant rather than scarce. The millennial generation is pioneering a profound shift from ownership to access, fundamentally altering our relationship with material goods. For them, freedom isn't found in private property, but in the ability to connect with others and access diverse experiences. This cultural transformation is most visible in changing attitudes toward the automobile, once capitalism's signature possession. Car ownership among young people has plummeted, with 46% of drivers aged 18 to 24 preferring internet access over owning a car. Instead, they're embracing car-sharing networks like Zipcar and Relay Rides, which allow members to access vehicles when needed without the burdens of ownership. The impact is substantial. Each shared car eliminates approximately 15 personally owned vehicles while reducing carbon emissions as members drive 31% less. This shift extends far beyond transportation. Airbnb has rapidly grown to offer more rooms than major hotel chains, with over 600,000 listings across 192 countries. Clothing exchange platforms like ThredUp facilitate garment sharing, while services like FreeCycle and Yertle enable sharing of general goods. Even backyards are becoming part of the commons through platforms like Shared Earth, which connects landowners with gardeners to grow food on unused land. The sharing economy creates abundance from underutilized resources. As Adam Werbach, former Sierra Club president and Yertle co-founder, notes, the average power drill is used for a total of just 48 minutes over its entire lifetime. By enabling access rather than ownership, sharing platforms extract maximum value from existing resources while reducing waste and environmental impact. This transformation threatens traditional retailers who rely on continuous consumption. When people can borrow items through laterally scaled networks at near zero marginal costs, high fixed cost businesses struggle to compete. The fundamental question becomes whether the commons represents merely a new commercial opportunity or an entirely new economic paradigm that will eventually eclipse capitalism. For younger generations, the answer seems increasingly clear. Studies show 62% of Gen Xers and millennials are attracted to sharing goods, services, and experiences in collaborative commons. When ranking benefits, they list saving money first, followed by environmental impact, lifestyle flexibility, and practicality. Emotionally, they value generosity, community belonging, intelligence, and being part of a movement. 3D printing is revolutionizing manufacturing by transforming bits into atoms, enabling distributed production with minimal resources. Unlike traditional manufacturing that subtracts material through cutting and shaping, 3D printing builds objects layer by layer, using only the necessary materials without waste. This additive approach reduces material requirements by up to 90% while eliminating the need for assembly lines. The technology is advancing rapidly, from expensive industrial applications to affordable consumer devices. MakerBot's Replicator, priced under $2,000, allows anyone to become a manufacturer. Meanwhile, community fabrication spaces, like MIT's Fab Labs, provide access to more sophisticated equipment, democratizing innovation capabilities previously confined to elite institutions. What makes 3D printing revolutionary is how it aligns with the Internet of Things infrastructure. Just as the communications internet enabled peer-to-peer content sharing, 3D printing allows peer-to-peer manufacturing of physical goods. Open-source design repositories like Thingiverse host millions of freely available designs that can be downloaded and printed anywhere, creating a global commons for physical production. The implications for global supply chains are profound. Instead of manufacturing products centrally and shipping them worldwide, designs can be transmitted digitally and produced locally using minimal materials and energy. This distributed model eliminates transportation costs, reduces carbon emissions, and enables customization without additional expense. The marginal cost of producing unique items is the same as mass production. For developing regions, this technology offers unprecedented opportunities. Marcin Jakubowski's Open Source Ecology Network has identified 50 essential machines for modern civilization and created freely available designs for 8 so far, including a bulldozer and drill press. Their global village construction kit allows communities to build a modern economy from scratch and scrap, potentially leapfrogging traditional industrial development. As Neil Gershenfeld, director of MIT's Center for Bits and Atoms, observes, "The real strength of 3D printing is not making what you can make with conventional manufacturing, it's making what you can't make, objects with complex internal structures that would be impossible to create in any other way. This capability is already transforming industries from aerospace to healthcare, where customized medical implants can be printed to exact specifications for individual patients." The same technologies driving communications, energy, and manufacturing to near-zero marginal cost are eliminating human labor across all economic sectors. Big data, advanced analytics, algorithms, artificial intelligence, and robotics are replacing workers everywhere, potentially liberating hundreds of millions from market economy work in the coming decades. This transformation began in manufacturing, where automation has dramatically increased productivity while reducing employment. Between 1997-2005, U.S. manufacturing output increased 60%, while 3.9 million jobs vanished. By 2012, the economy had recovered to 2.2% above pre-recession output levels, but with 3.84 million fewer workers. This pattern extends globally. Between 1995-2002, 22 million manufacturing jobs disappeared worldwide, while production increased 30%. The automation revolution has now reached white-collar professions long considered immune to technological displacement. Software like eDiscovery can analyze millions of legal documents faster and more accurately than human lawyers, at a fraction of the cost. One lawyer using this technology can do the work of 500 with greater precision than human review. Similar disruption is occurring in fields from journalism, where algorithms write basic news stories, to medicine, where IBM's Watson diagnoses conditions with remarkable accuracy. Even creative professions aren't immune. Music X-Ray uses algorithms to identify potential hit songs, while Epagogix predicts box office success from movie scripts. Translation, perhaps the most complex cognitive task, is being automated by services like Lionbridge's GeoFluent, threatening to eliminate many of the world's professional translators. This technological unemployment isn't necessarily catastrophic. As Rifkin argues, we're witnessing an epic transformation in the nature of work itself. While machines replace human labor in the market economy, new opportunities are emerging in the social commons, where deep human engagement and building social capital remain inherently human enterprises. The nonprofit sector is already the fastest-growing employment sector in many advanced economies, with countries like the Netherlands 15.9%, Belgium 13.1%, and the United Kingdom 11% seeing significant workforce percentages in nonprofits. By mid-century, a majority of the employed worldwide will likely work in the nonprofit sector, advancing the social economy while purchasing some goods from the conventional marketplace. This transition requires retraining existing workers and developing appropriate skills for students entering the labor market, a challenge similar to the shift from agricultural to industrial life between 1890 and 1940. As economic activity shifts from the market to the commons, social capital is becoming as important as financial capital. In the sharing economy, reputation systems rank members' trustworthiness similar to how credit ratings function in market economies. Services like ThreadUp rate quality, style, and punctuality, while TrustCloud assigns members' scores based on consistency, generosity, and transparency. These reputation metrics create the trust necessary for peer-to-peer exchanges to function without traditional intermediaries. When strangers share homes, cars, or personal items, they rely on community verification rather than institutional guarantees. This social trust enables collaborative consumption at near-zero marginal cost, creating economic relationships fundamentally different from market transactions. The social economy extends beyond material sharing to knowledge and skills. Patient-driven healthcare networks like Patients Like Me connect 220,000 patients who share detailed health information, creating a vast repository of real-world data that complements traditional clinical trials. This collaborative approach has already challenged published research, as when ALS patients using lithium showed no benefits despite earlier positive studies. Alternative currencies further distinguish commons transactions from market exchanges. Over 4,000 microcurrencies exist worldwide, many based on labor time stored in time banks. Some, like Our Exchange Portland, facilitate healthcare payments, while others, like Berkshares, encourage local spending. Digital currencies like Bitcoin bypass national boundaries and traditional financial institutions entirely, creating truly global peer-to-peer payment systems. Social entrepreneurship represents another hybrid between market and commons approaches. Legal innovations like B corporations and L3Cs formalize blended missions that prioritize social and environmental impact alongside financial returns. This sector has experienced spectacular growth, with several hundred thousand social enterprises in the U.S. employing over 10 million people and generating $500 billion annually, 3.5% of GDP. The rise of social capital challenges conventional economic wisdom that humans are purely self-interested. Recent evolutionary biology and neurocognitive science suggest we're inherently social beings, with neural circuitry for empathy. The mirror neurons discovered in the 1990s show how humans physiologically experience others' feelings as our own, creating the foundation for collaborative rather than competitive economic systems. The transition to a collaborative commons isn't merely economic. It represents a profound shift in human consciousness. Throughout history, major economic paradigm shifts have combined communication revolutions with new energy regimes, transforming how humans perceive themselves and their relationship to the world. Early forager-hunter societies used oral language to coordinate activities, with empathy extending only to blood ties and tribal bonds. Hydraulic civilizations brought writing and grain storage, shifting consciousness from mythological to theological, and extending empathy to religious identity. The 19th century's coal-powered steam printing created ideological consciousness, where citizens saw themselves as national families. The 20th century's electrification developed psychological consciousness that extended empathy across professional and cultural affiliations. Now, the Internet of Things is creating a vast global neural network connecting everything with everyone, enabling biosphere consciousness, an awareness of our fundamental interconnectedness with all life on Earth. This distributed, collaborative infrastructure allows our species to empathize as a single, extended human family for the first time, recognizing our shared dependence on the planet's ecological systems. The younger generation is already operating in this new paradigm, studying in global classrooms via Skype, socializing worldwide on Facebook, sharing homes and resources online, generating green electricity across continents, and shifting from unlimited material growth to sustainable development. They judge institutions not by traditional right-left politics, but by whether they're centralized and proprietary or distributed, transparent, and peer-to-peer. This emerging consciousness recognizes that true happiness comes not from material accumulation, but from empathic engagement with others. Studies consistently show that beyond meeting basic needs, increased wealth brings diminishing returns to well-being. What truly makes us happy is affection, companionship, and belonging, qualities that are infinitely abundant rather than scarce. The advertising industry exploits these deeper drives by suggesting material consumption can fulfill social needs, though this only distances us from genuine community. In a world of abundance rather than scarcity, the fear of going without vanishes, diminishing the impulse to hoard and overindulge. As Rifkin observes, when material needs are universally met, the desperate drive to overconsume diminishes. Despite its transformative potential, the transition to a collaborative commons faces formidable challenges that threaten to derail progress toward a sustainable, shared economy. Two existential threats loom particularly large: accelerating climate change and the rising specter of cyberterrorism, both capable of disrupting or destroying critical infrastructure systems. Climate change presents perhaps the most immediate and widespread threat. Climate scientists report atmospheric carbon has risen from pre-industrial levels of 280 parts per million to over 400 ppm today, with catastrophic consequences already manifesting globally. Extreme weather events have increased in both frequency and intensity, with devastating hurricanes, unprecedented flooding, and record-breaking heat waves becoming commonplace. Agricultural systems face particular vulnerability. South Asia projects devastating declines by 2050 of 50% in wheat yields and 17% in rice production. Even in technologically advanced nations like the United States, climate models predict corn and soy yields could plummet 30 to 46% in a low-emission scenario and 63 to 82% in a high-emission scenario by century's end. These agricultural disruptions threaten not just food security, but the entire economic foundation of many regions. Infrastructure vulnerability compounds these challenges. Power grids face a double threat from both climate impacts and deliberate attacks. Nuclear facilities require consistent cooling water supplies, a resource increasingly threatened by prolonged droughts and shifting precipitation patterns. Coastal infrastructure faces multiple challenges from rising sea levels, intensifying storm surges, and saltwater intrusion into freshwater aquifers. The 2011 Fukushima disaster serves as a stark reminder of how quickly energy infrastructure can fail under environmental stress, rendering 62 square miles uninhabitable and causing long-term economic and social disruption across an entire region. Cyberterrorism represents an equally critical vulnerability as society becomes increasingly dependent on interconnected digital networks. attacks have evolved from simple disruptions and pranks to sophisticated operations capable of crippling vital services. Recent attacks on colonial pipeline systems, healthcare networks, and municipal water treatment facilities demonstrate the potential for cascading failures. Without reliable electricity, essential systems, including water distribution, transportation networks, communications infrastructure, and government services, would begin to fail within days or weeks, potentially triggering widespread social instability. The battle over control of the Internet of Things infrastructure further complicates this transition. While commons advocates push for open access and collaborative governance models, powerful commercial interests actively work to enclose these networks for profit maximization. Major internet platforms have consolidated into dominant monopolies across virtually every sector. Google controls search with over 90% market share in many European countries, while Facebook dominates social networking with 1.1 billion active users. Amazon's control of online retail continues to expand, while Microsoft maintains its grip on enterprise computing. These monopolies raise fundamental questions about power distribution in the digital age. What are the implications when Google effectively controls humanity's collective knowledge access, Facebook oversees a billion-person virtual public square, or Amazon increasingly dominates global commerce? As digital media scholar Tarleton Gillespie warns, the algorithms that organize our information are not neutral. They encode political choices and frame information in a particular way. This concentration of power in private hands potentially threatens the democratic and egalitarian promise of the collaborative commons. Despite these challenges, the transition to a collaborative commons offers our best hope for creating a sustainable and equitable future. The Internet of Things infrastructure provides the technological foundation for a distributed, lateral economy that can lift hundreds of millions out of poverty while reducing humanity's ecological footprint. This vision echoes Mahatma Gandhi's economic philosophy from 70 years ago. Gandhi advocated not mass production, but production by the masses in people's own homes. He foresaw the dangers of centralized industrial production, warning it would place limitless power in one human agency, making people dependent on distant authorities for basic necessities. Gandhi understood capitalism's contradiction, that the drive for efficiency would eventually replace human labor with automation, leaving people without purchasing power. His alternative was Swadeshi, bringing work to the people and not people to the work. He believed in reuniting production and consumption through local production while fostering community values over individual self-interest. What Gandhi couldn't foresee was that capitalism itself would create technologies driving marginal costs toward zero, making abundance possible through distributed, collaborative production. The Internet of Things now provides the means to advance this vision, connecting local production in global networks that optimize resource use while preserving community autonomy. The cooperative model offers a proven governance structure for this emerging economy. Unlike private companies, cooperatives operate as commons rather than profit-making ventures. They follow seven principles established by the Rochdale Society in 1844. Open membership regardless of background, democratic governance with one member, one vote, equitable capital contribution, autonomy and self-help, education for members, collaboration across networks, and commitment to sustainable community development. Despite media neglect, cooperatives are enormously significant globally. Over 1 billion people, 1 in 7 humans, belong to cooperatives, employing 100 million people, 20% more than multinational companies. In the U.S., 29,000 cooperatives with 120 million members operate across sectors from agriculture to banking, generating $3 trillion in assets and $500 billion in annual revenue. As we navigate this historic transition, we must recognize that neither capitalism nor the collaborative commons alone can address our complex challenges. We need a hybrid system that preserves innovation while ensuring the benefits of near-zero marginal cost are widely shared. By embracing cooperation alongside competition, abundance alongside efficiency, and biosphere consciousness alongside technological advancement, we can create an economy that serves humanity's highest aspirations rather than merely its material needs.